They're wonderful, you know, altogether lovely. And the tenor, some 10,000. Ah, good hearing that good tenor voice there this morning, wasn't it, eh? Very lovely, did my heart good. We all sing so very well here, you know. And it's just wonderful to listen to you. I'm so glad our brother Andy kind of clarified that part of the end there. He said, this is going to be my last day here. It kind of reminded me of a the great yarnmouth way back yonder in Norfolk, England, years ago. And he was giving a series there down among the fishermen. And the Lord, he came, and the brother giving us notice after breaking bread said, Sunday school, 1:30. Ministry of the Word at 3:00. And at 6:30, our brother Boswell preached the gospel for the last time. So, very glad he said it this time, eh? Later, we've had a wonderful time together these days. I don't know if you have, but I have. My own spirit is refreshed and really definitely encouraged as a result of being with you. And I trust the Lord will just bless you word again to your heart more. And they're trusting to do that, and I know he will. Right, so then let us have the verse. Do you remember it? Deuteronomy 33 and 29. All together. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy health, and who is the sword of thy excellency, and thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. Now, Brother Tom Lacey doesn't look bad for 17 years old, does he? Does he? Looks pretty good for 17 years old, doesn't he? That's right. Well, Mr. Lacey has a birthday today, and we wish him a real happy birthday. And sure, it's a real joy. The Lord has definitely preserved these two people down through the years, and I'm sure they'll have much joy on this particular day. These birthdays come so fast, don't they, eh? But one day alone, we're going to see him, where there'll be no change, nor age, nor decay. We're singing that lovely hymn this morning, the road leads home. But sometimes I go homesick for heaven. The glories I there shall behold, what a joy it shall be when our Savior we see in that beautiful city of gold. The glory of all glories will be to see him and to be with him and to be like him throughout the countless ages of eternity. You remember in our first meeting together, we read four scriptures. The first one, Deuteronomy 33 and 29. And uphand all those who use daily light. A little book called Daily Light. Praise the Lord. Well, remember this morning, Daily Light had in it almost the second reading. Exodus 33, verses 14 through 16. Remember, the Lord said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. Moses said, if thy presence go not with us, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall be known here, I and I feel have found grace in thy sight. Is it not in that thou goest with us, so shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the other scripture was Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13, how that we've been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise until the day of redemption. And the last scripture will be, I'll try to stress that tonight, God willing, John 20, verse number 21, where it says, as my Father sent me, even so send I you. I really enjoyed looking at Deuteronomy 33 and especially verse number 29. This morning we want to leave it. But still the basis is, oh, people saved by the Lord. And once he has saved us, he has separated us. And notice, he separated us unto himself. I like that. He said, I brought you out, that I might bring you unto myself. The very same night, the children of Israel applied the blood to the two side posts and the upper lintel of the doorway. That very same night, the children of Israel went forth from the land of Egypt. What is the New Testament pattern? Galatians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. And what do you read? Our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself to bear away our sins and to deliver us from this present evil age. Beloved, we hear a great deal these days about Christ dying to bear away our sins. It's wonderful. But remember the second part of that verse. And to deliver us from this present evil age. And the very same moment we trusted Christ for salvation, that moment we came to the life side of the cross. He separated us unto himself. And remember Galatians chapter 6 verse 14 says, by the cross I am crucified to the world, and by the cross the world is crucified to me. There's a little hymn we hear sung a lot these days, I will follow Jesus. Remember the one verse has, the cross before me, the world behind me, I will follow Jesus. Now that may be good hymnology, but it's very poor theology. Remember the cross is not before the Christian today. The cross is behind the Christian. Behind the Christian. As a poor sinner we came, and we looked to Christ for the cross. The burden of sin rolled away. Oh, happy day. Galatians 1, verse number 4, the first part. But then, and delivered us from this present evil world, and we came from before the cross to behind the cross, and my back toward the cross, and my face is toward the glory. And just as the Red Sea rolled between the children of Israel, and the old fear, and the old master, and the old enemies, so now, the cross work of the Lord Jesus stand betwixt the Christian and the world. And I repeat, the line of demarcation between the believer and the old seer is the cross work of the Lord Jesus. He not only gave himself to bear away my sin, but he bore me away. Christ having died unto sin, unto self, and unto the world, so we in Christ have done the same. And this morning we're on resurrection ground, on a life side of the cross. Some years ago, we were speaking at a conference in Washington, D.C. It was a young people's convention, and it was a closing night. We were talking on the whole weekend, what is a Christian? What is a Christian? My beloved friend, Miss Edith Brooks, was one of the other speakers along with Bill Hines. Now, I'll never forget this in all my life. We talked that night upon the cross and the Christian life. And that place, Minnesota Avenue, was packed with mainly young people. And looking round at Vanstrad, I said, girls, I don't mind you wearing a cross around your neck. As long as there's no image on it. If there's an image on it, then I object to it. But I don't mind you wearing a cross around your neck, but please be scriptural and wear it at your back. Because your back's toward the cross and your face is toward the glory. What happened that night? Five crosses and five chains, while a solid gold cross and solid gold chain was picked up in the auditorium. Many other things were picked up that night. You know why? Because young people were willing to do business with God. We never asked them to do that. Not at all. That's all I said regarding the cross at that particular point. And you know, all these things were picked up. Chuck Coleman, who was the president, chairman, they held them up and said, whoever owns these will come and accept them, receive them. They're still there. No one came forward. Young people have come to recognize, many of them, that on the life side of the cross. A good friend, Sidney Baxter, whom I'm greatly indebted to because of that little booklet, Awake My Heart, says, young people today are entering into the life our brother Morris has just been referring to, the yielded life. While the older people, and I speak reverently, and I speak sincerely, and I speak with all due respect, while the older people who have been brought up with doctrine and tradition are afraid to venture forth and rest all on the Lord Jesus Christ. They've been taught, they know everything in Christ. And how true that is. And yet they wander around in the wilderness. It's much easier for a young person to enter in and by faith to let go than for someone who has been brought up in certain lines and in certain circumstances and environment. What? They're afraid of the emotional. They're afraid of the emotional. They're afraid of the very word being emotional. And yet, beloved, if you know anything about salvation, you know something about emotions, don't you? Your emotions have been and must have been stirred. And they're afraid to let go. And I'm in the midst of blessing. I thank God for many of you here who have let go. And you know the joy of what I'm talking of. It's a reality, you're not just a figure in history. Not just a mere doctrine or a mere theme through the scripture. You've come to recognize not only does the Holy Spirit indwell us, but remember as we yield to Him, He fills us. And as He fills us, then He uses us. Remember, He can only fill what is yielded. And only in the measure we yield will He fill. We can't have more of the Spirit. He's given to us without measure. But He can have more of you and more of me. And only in the measure which we yield our lives entirely to Him shall He fill us. And then by God's grace will use us for God's glory. Some of those young people who were at that particular convention at Washington to be around in full-time ministry to the Lord Jesus Christ. Some are not. Some are in executive positions today in different parts of the great North American continent and living vital witnesses, convincing, reproducing Christians to the Lord Jesus. And remember, we're born to reproduce. We're born to reproduce. Just been in Arizona and we had the privilege of baptizing 13 men, most of them officers and majors from the American Army, and one married woman, and one sweet little girl. This is an interesting baptism service. There were two officers going to be baptized. We give a talk on baptism. I went to the room at the side here, the two officers went to that room there. I went to put on my clothes to go down into the water, and to my great amazement, the door opened, and in walked 9 men. More than 9, 11 men, and 1 woman. And I looked, what's the matter? I didn't mind the men being there, but I couldn't quite understand this woman being here, you see? And I said, what's the matter? They said, we can't get away after that message. We've got to be baptized. And we want to be baptized straight away. So praise the Lord. It's when we see a response to ministry like that. And you will see that quite a lot. A response immediately to the ministry. We love that. And this is what happened. So Jack Grammer, who was there in a full-time ministry at the Bible Chapel in Tucson, Arizona, he came in and said, I said, Jack, I said, those of you ones want to be baptized. So I said, have you any clothes with you? Any change? He said, no. So he said, it's quite all right. We've got gowns here. And I'm quite convinced we've got enough gowns to go around. So he curves back, he goes. And he said, now you men, all you men, go to the other side and our sister will get your dress here. And so that's what happened. And they got enough gowns. So that was really wonderful. The Lord was very gracious. He went down to the water. And the baptismal service went on. And then he dressed. And lo and behold, another brown Catalina from really from Cleveland came rushing back in. Brother Bob, you got to put your clothes on again. Others want to be baptized. So another 2 men were baptized. They're coming up out of the water, a man came, one of the elders, and said, Jim, I said, do you mind baptizing my daughter? She really wants to be baptized. I said, well, I said, yes, I'd be happy to. So I went back in the water, baptized her. I led him to Christ 13 years ago, and he's a scientist. And he's a reproducing Christian. He's led many other scientists and doctors to Christ in those 13 years. Beloved, we're born to reproduce. All the joy of being a reproducing Christian.
Need God touch your heart with my heart, but we can only reproduce in the measure that we've yielded to the indwelling spirit. My good brother, Mr. Willing, quoted something on the very first night I was here that I used here last time. The three movements. The three movements. Remember, the Lord went up, the Holy Spirit came down, and they went out. And they went out. Now, we're going to deal with that just right now. So, will you please open your Bibles to Luke chapter 24. Luke 24. I'm not preaching this morning. I don't feel like preaching. We just want to have a heart-to-heart talk. And may be a real blessing to all of us in a very real way. So, Luke chapter 24... and verse number 49. Luke 24. Now remember, we're dealing this morning with a separated people. First of all, we are saved, and now we are a separated people. And remember, it's the cross work of Jesus Christ that does the separating. I'm not speaking about separation in a legalistic, metallic, negative kind of a way. It's don't do, don't go, don't say, don't wear. I'm not talking about that separation. So there's a place for it, by the way. I want to talk this morning on a positive separation. The Lord, I brought you out, I might bring you unto myself. A separation that's alive and vital and convincing. And something I want to say right here, that when our hearts are magnetized to Jesus Christ, they are demagnetized from everything that's unlike Jesus Christ. Many of my beloved brethren have come to me through the years of ministry and saying, Jim, why don't you preach on an all-up separation? Come up from among them. Touch not the unclean. Well, I believe there's a place for that. But no, I've never known it fail. When you teach a positive, vital separation unto the Lord Jesus Christ, all this other thing takes its right place. I find once you get the believer in love with the Lord Jesus, and he's in control of all these other things take the right place. Because they've got one ambition, is to be well-pleasing and in love with the lovely Lord Jesus. As we so often quote these days, O precious Lord Jesus, how lovely thou art. Come and abiding rule in my heart. Here it is. Break every fetter. Thy face let me see, then thou shalt ever be precious unto me. Look at verse number 49 of Luke 24. Just say it here. By the way, these are the last recorded words of the Lord Jesus in Luke's Gospel. See what it says. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, that tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem, until you be endued with power from on high. Now you remember the first words of the Lord Jesus in Luke's Gospel. Luke 2 verse again 49. And what does it say? Wist ye not, I must be about my Father's business. Wist ye not, I must be about my Father's business. Now he's just about to leave them and go back to the Father, but his work must be carried on. And he must carry on his work through them. And so now he says here, Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. What did he say, remember, in John chapter 13? I will pray the Father, and he shall send you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. I will pray the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem, until you be endued with power from on high. Now just see how he goes on here. And he led them out. Do you remember a verse in Mark chapter 15, verse 20, what it says? And they led him out to crucify him. And thank God this morning that cross is empty and the tomb is vacated and he's standing here on resurrection ground. And, he led them out. He led them out to the place of separation. The place of separation. Hebrews 13:13, going outside the camp unto him, bearing his reproach. A separation unto a person. A separation unto our adorable Lord Jesus Christ.
And when our hearts are magnetized to that lovely one, then they're demagnetized from all that's unlike him. So we turn our eyes upon Jesus. We look full into his wonderful face, and the things of earth grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. There are three words in the Greek for the word world. There is the wonderful world of creation. We thank God for that wonderful world. See all the beauteous creation all around us. I trust you've got an eye to take them in, a heart to appreciate them. And I pray God, you thank God for all you see in this wonderful world of creation. But then there's another word called mankind. Mankind. But there's another word for world. It's the world system of which Satan himself is the prince of the power. This one, the god of the age, Satan. And this is what we must be separated from. Separated from and separated to our beloved Lord Jesus Christ. I love that expression. I brought you out. He led them out, that I might bring you unto myself. And so he led them to the place of separation. You know, by this time, I'm very fond of acrostics, don't you? You know it now. May I give you a double acrostic on the word cross? Because it's coming flashing into my mind, I got to get rid of it. Now, I want to give it to you. Here it is. The capital C-R-O-S-S. A double acrostic. Now, here it is. It's not the cross, but the Christ of the cross. I have two friends. I got more than two, but at least I'm thinking of Bill Davis, a Welshman, and Dave Clifford, whom we had here recently. Bill used to come and join us in our tent work from time to time back in Britain while he was in business, but he's now in full time. In fact, he's in a pastorate now down in Bermuda in one of our assemblies there. And when Bill and Dave were together, Dave could not stand at any price that hymn, the old rugged cross. He didn't like that hymn at all. Bill Davis loved it with all his heart. He loved that hymn, an old rugged cross. Built for the good well-singing boys with others sing, on a hill far away to an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. Sure enough, during the course of that same program, Dave would get up. You know, his pipe was on. He get down with it. Because I ain't going to sing a song here. The Christ of the cross is the theme of my song, the wonderful Christ of the cross. Nice to get up and just try and keep peace between them by preaching the Christ of the cross. There's the whole thing, you see. The wonder of it all. Now, please, they're wonderful. Remember the old rugged cross, but it's not the cross as a stake, not the cross as a tree, not the cross as a piece of wood. Oh, no. It's the Christ of the cross as the theme of our soul. Now, I want to give you something more right here. Not the cross as a relic. The capital R-E-L-I-C. Not the cross as a relic, but redemption through the Christ of the cross. Now get that. Not the cross, but the Christ of the cross. Not the cross as a relic, but redemption through the Christ of the cross. Or, not the Christ as an ornament, but omnipotence through the Christ of the cross. Omnipotence through the Christ of the cross. Not the cross as a symbol, not the cross as a symbol, but salvation through the Christ of the cross. Not the cross as mere sentiment. How many people we've seen crying over the crucifixion, over the maltreatment of our adorable Lord Jesus, and yet they're not born again people. All the injustice, all the cruelty they say, and yet they don't yield themselves to that lovely man. Friend, is not the cross as mere sentiment, it's separation to the Christ of the cross. May I go back over that? I want to get it. Not the cross, but the Christ. Not the relic, but redemption. Not the ornament, but omnipotence. Not the symbol, but salvation. And not the sentiment, but separation to the Christ of the cross. Again, put the capital C-R-O-S-S down. At the cross, what do I find? And what do we find as Christians? We find the cancellation of all our debts. The cancellation of all of debt. Aren't you glad about that? Aren't you glad, my friend, the debt has been cancelled and cancelled forever? And the removal of the guilty stain. The cross work removes the guilt, not merely the sin, but the very stain caused by sin. The blood of Jesus Christ, God cleansed from all sin. I'm so happy about that, aren't you? Oh, it opens the way back to God. The way once was closed as on the ground of sin. But now, beloved, the way stands open wide on the ground of sacrifice. He's opened up a new and living way whereby we can come to Him, hold communion with Him. Oh, the joy of the cross work of the Lord Jesus. And yes, the cross separates me from sin. It separates me from sin. Once in the end of the age that Christ appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. As the east is from the west, so far have He removed our transgressions from us. Not north, nor south. That can be measured. The north pole and the south pole. East and west can never be measured. And it says, as the east is from the west, so far. Aren't you glad about that? Their sins and their iniquities, I'll remember no more. And I like that word, no more, don't you? Please study the no more of the scriptures, because they're precious. No more. Forever. And it sets me apart, and the next part is, sets me apart for God. Remember, cancel the debt. Remove the guilty state. Opens the way back to God. Separates from sin. And set me apart for God. Now that's the separation I know. That's the separation I enjoy. The separation of walking on resurrection ground on the life and the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, that takes me to another point now. He led them up to a place of separation, the place called Bethany. There's something precious about Bethany, isn't there? There's a home at Bethany where the Lord was welcomed. I trust He's welcomed in your home. And He's loved. The whole family, Martha, who owned the home, and Lazarus and Mary were all there. All there. And they loved Him. And He loved them. Now after the busy day, and all the milling crowds milling around Him, how He loved to resort to Bethany. And to the love. And to the warmth of the fellowship. The word I want to give you is a place of affection. He led in the place of separation. He led in the place of affection. At Bethany found such wonderful, true, warm affection there. Four little L's I want to give you. One, He found love there. Love. Oh, how they loved Him. He found life there. Lazarus had been brought back from the dead. He found light there. Come from darkness into light. He found liberty there. Loose it and let Him go. Four wonderful L's. Love, light, liberty. And these are ours as we know affection for Jesus Christ. I will say with all sincerity, Lord, Thou art enough. The mind and heart to fill. Oh, fix my eyes so wholly, Lord, on Thee. That with Thy beauty occupy, I elsewhere none may see. In your mind is down the land of love, never Ruth and Orpha. Orpha means hind feet, swiftness of foot. Or Ruth means remember friendliness and beauty. In your mind means pleasantness or joy. Three widows. There was the Uli stripped of her husband and her two sons. And there she's trying to comfort the two young daughters-in-law. She said, I'm going back to my own land. Mom, we're coming back with you. We set out together. They come to the crossroads between Bethlehem, Judah, and the land of Nod. The crisis arrived. It always will. She put them to the test. They both go back to their own land. Both have husbands in your own land. Both have children. Orpha kissed her mother-in-law and went back to her God. Went back to her own land, went back to her own people. Orpha's a picture of a mere professor, having strangely moved in some evangelistic meeting, because professional salvation is no heart regeneration. When the test comes to go all the way, it's too much for him to go back. Too much to take up the cross and follow Christ to go back. But as Ruth is a real possessor, said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee, where thou goest I will go, where thou lodgest I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, thy God shall be my God. Where thou diest, I will die, and there will I be buried. That's a good baptismal text, by the way. Where thou diest, I will die, and there will I be buried. with heaven. They go all the way. She's undivided devotee. So it's wonderful affection for Naomi, who proves to be her deliverer. She goes all the way with Naomi, coming down to the land of Bethlehem, Judah. Cutting my long story short, she's introduced to a man whose name is Boaz. Boaz means a strong man. And the Bible says he's a mighty man of wealth. A mighty man of wealth. Now what happens? All because of her heart and allegiance, her complete devotion and affection for Naomi, she comes in contact with a strong man. Comes in contact with this mighty man of wealth. What is the result? There is a union. And as a result, that union is joy, there's love, there's rest, and hallelujah, there is fruit. Lotus, joy, precious fruit. All because she was willing to go all the way. She came in all her penury and poverty, she found in Boaz as well. She came in all her weakness and impotence, she found in Boaz with strength. As a result of this, my friend, you have the picture of Christ in resurrection power. Naomi is a picture of Christ in humiliation. Christ in humiliation. And Boaz, you have Christ in resurrection. And from Obed came Jesse. From Jesse came King David. You've got a picture of the coming King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Our adorable Lord Jesus. Oh, how much Ruth would have missed had she not been wholeheartedly devoted and completely handed over to Naomi. When she's married to Malan, her first husband, there is no fruit. No fruit whatever. Married now to Boaz, there is fruit. Lotus, joy, precious fruit. For which we do thank God this morning, do we not? What's the lesson? Our old life, our old Adamic nature, no matter how refined, respectable, religious, cultured, educated it may be, can never produce anything for God. J.H. McIntosh said, never end for God to grow nature's barren soil. But now linked up with Christ, a resurrection power, there is fruit, lotus, joy, precious fruit, and all for God's praise and for God's glory. A separation to a person means union, and means love, and means joy, means rest, and it means fruit. Oh, may I know the joy of this, my friend. Real affection for our dear Lord Jesus. Then, what happened just there? He lifted up his hands, the Lord did. Lifted up his hands in the act of blessing them. And the word is benediction. Led in the place of separation, affection, and now benediction. Oh, beloved. Do we want to know his blessed benediction resting upon us? We too must know practical separation to him. And wholehearted affection for him. Then we shall hear, blessed art thou. His blessed benediction resting upon, and he blessed them there. But what else happened? It became the place of adoration. And it says, and they worshipped him. They worshipped him right there. Now, this is the outcome. You can't work worship up. You can't any engineer worship. You can't pop up worship. You don't get into your worship as you put on your Sunday clothes. Oh, no. Worship is the outcome of our heart occupation with our beloved Lord Jesus. As we're contemplating him, Psalm 45 verse number 1 comes in here. My heart is indicting. My heart bubbling up with good matter. I speak of things I've made touching the King. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. And the Holy Spirit takes the tongue of the one whose heart engaged with Christ. And they say, thou art fair in the children of men. Grace is poured into us. Why? He is thy Lord. Worship thou him. And there's a spontaneity, a rising up of spiritually godly and energized worship. And we worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father, he is the object of our worship. The Son is the subject of our worship. And the Holy Spirit is the energizer of our worship. We bow before him this morning and we worship, for he is our Lord. He led us out to himself. The place of separation, the place of affection, and the place of benediction, and now the place of adoration. Oh, do you adore him? Do you worship him? Is he everything to you this morning, my friend? Oh, the thrill. Then, Acts chapter 1, please turn it. Just help to keep you awake for one thing. Acts 1 and verse number 8. As you says here now, and ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you,
And ye shall be witnesses unto me. Where? In Jerusalem, and in Judea, and in Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. By the way, what's the name of the largest woman in the world? What's the name of the largest woman in the world? Jezebel. She was, I don't mind even mention her name. No? Got it? The woman of some area. Got it? The woman of some area. Do you remember, Morris, don't you? When Paul was a baker. Remember when Paul was a baker? Yes, when he went for the pie. But here it is now. It says, and ye shall receive power as the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. The word becomes the place of occupation. The place of separation, place of affection, benediction, adoration. And what do? In worship, I go into the holy priest. I go in there to give to the Lord Jesus. In my giving, he consecrates. We dedicate, but he consecrates. And as we give in our worship to him, he fills our hands with meaning of consecration, fills our hands, and we go out to his royal priest, into our Sunday school, into our Bible class, into our visitation work, into our Bible ministry, into our gospel tidings. We go out now as royal priests. And my friends, the third are wonderful in Luke 24. But now listen, it leads to the place of occupation. And Lord, occupy till I come. I remember going into a home one time years ago, and they showed me my room, and I am very appreciative, and usually when I'm left alone in my room, I get down by the bed or by a chair, thank the Lord for taking me to this area, and praise purpose my being, and will rot off his own glory. I did that day, and getting up from my knees, I looked up over the bed, and there was one of those old-fashioned scrolls there. You know what it had on it? Occupy till I come, right over the bed. I saw the funny side of that, you know. The Bible says I got to be steadfast, not bedfast. Eh? Unmovable, not immovable. There it is, the wonder of it all. And it says, occupy till I come. Now here's the place of occupation. The last, because I really must. It says, in the very act here now, again his hands are lifted up. And you know something, brethren? We never read of those hands being let down. We never read of those hands being let down. Those hands are still lifted, are unchanging, great high priest, pouring out blessing upon his own, having loved his own, loved the right unto the very uttermost. And now he says, the very act of blessing his own, he receives up into the glory, receives up into the glory, he goes up. And those were with who saw him go? His own. By the way, the worldling never saw Christ after they put him upon a cross. They never saw him after that. It was only hands of Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus that took him down. They wrapped him in the linen bandage. They placed him in the tomb. Then they rolled the stones out of the sepulchre. Then the Roman soldiers came and stood with the Roman seal. And when Christ appeared, he appeared to his own for 40 days. And his own are his father to Bethany. And the very act of blessing his own, now get this, is standing on the Mount of Olives, right in full view of Bethany. Why not Jerusalem? Jerusalem, cast him out. Way with him. We don't want him. There's a home at Bethany without him. And a full view of Bethany's hands are lifted up. We stood there some months ago on that very same spot. They call the Mount now of Ascension. And at the very same spot, remember, he received up into glory. Who saw him go? His own. Remember the heavenly messenger said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus, who you've taken up from your into heaven, shall so come in like manner. Who saw him go? His own. Who is he coming for? His own. And who are they? Those who received him by his spirit into their heart. And on each he said, his own secret sign, they have my spirit. These, said he, are mine. It's a place of expectation. One, the place of separation, affection, benediction, adoration, occupation, and now expectation, or anticipation, if you really like. The word is expectation. We're expecting our Lord to come back at any moment. Beloved, he's gone away, but not to stay. He's coming back again. And maybe this very day, the listening sky shall hear his voice saying, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. I have a poem here. I got this years ago in a Christmas postcard. A little girlfriend I went to school with. And I've kept it all down through the years, and I use it very often, mainly at funerals. But there's no funeral. That's if we're committing the body to the ground. I read this very often. Here it is. Perhaps tonight, perhaps this year the Lord may calm a heart of mine rejoice, for soon the listening skies bow down will hear the bridegroom's voice. And should it really be this year, then on no distant day, the Lord of glory will appear and take his bride away. This year, perhaps this very day, the dead in Christ will rise, and we before his coming pray will join them in the sky. Caught up to meet him in the air, from darkness unto light, his glory and his name to share, perhaps today. Tonight. Hymn number 356. 356. Satisfied with thee, Lord Jesus, I am blessed. Peace which has understanding on thy breast. No more doubting, no more trembling, oh but rest. Occupied with thee, Lord Jesus, in thy grace. All thy ways and thoughts about me only trace deeper stories of the glory of thy grace. 356, for sake of time, we'll just sing the last two verses, verses 3 and 4. There's only 5 after. I think we've done very well this morning, really. Satisfied with Jesus, occupied with him, and the two last verses, take it up with thee, Lord Jesus, then listening for the shout, Lord Jesus. How are these hymns just dovetail the one into the other, don't they? Eh? God bless you. Thank you for coming. Verse 3.